Father Paul can't be in the studio today, so this episode of In the Narthex is a repeat.
The Holy Archdiocese of New Zealand of the Ecumenical Patriarchate presents In the Narthex with Father Paul Patitsis. Join him as he shares with us the ancient apostolic faith of the Christian Greek Orthodox Church. And now your host, Father Paul.
To In the Narthex, a radio program of the Sacred Metropolis of New Zealand. I'm your host, Father Pavlos, of the Holy Trinity Greek Orthodox Church, here in Auckland, located in lovely Western Springs. We have been enjoying the school holiday this past week and enjoying some important family time. This is a beautiful country, and a road trip to anywhere in it is sure to leave you inspired and refreshed. God bless New Zealand. Dear listener, thank you for joining us again today. Your interest in our humble program gives us courage to press on. We are on a pilgrimage together. We are taking the steps to seek God, and we are being guided by the ancient tradition of the living church. I want to begin today's program with a song which has hit the top of the charts in 2001 and went double platinum in Australia. It is from the group Lifehouse. It is called Hanging by a Moment.
Desperate for changing, starving for truth. I'm closer to where I started. I'm chasing after you. I'm falling even more in love with you. Letting go of all I've held on to. I'm standing here.
Speaks to our need to wait on God, to wait in that moment of encounter. Some of the words of the song are desperate for changing, starving for truth, letting go of all I held on to. It's this sense of openness to God that this song so beautifully communicates. Last week, we talked about waiting for God as an important part of our encounter with God. This is the third program, which we are devoting to the theme, Theoria, or Vision of God. We have previously discussed the topic of catharsis, or spiritual cleansing. We have saved the most challenging topic of theosis, or union with God, for last. These words and concepts, catharsis, theoria, and theosis, are integral parts of the Orthodox Christian tradition of spiritual growth and development. You'll find these concepts at the core of the spiritual writings of the Orthodox Christian Church, especially in the compendium of the writings of the ascetical fathers. To see God, we need to be enveloped by his presence. This is what we pray every Sunday in the Orthodox hymn known as the Doxology, which we played for you two programs ago. In your light shall we see light. Ento fotisu opsometha phos. We say in one of the prayers from the first hour, Christe to phos to lithinon, to fotison ke hiazon panda anthropon erhomanon iston kosmon, Σημειωθήτω εφημάς το φως του προσώπου σου, είναι εν αυτό οψόμεθα φως το πρόσιτον, και κατεύθυνον τα δύο βήματα ημών προς εργασίαν των εντολών σου, πρεσβείες της Παναχράντου σου Μητρός και πάνω σου των Αγίων. Αμήν. And in translation, O Christ, the true light, who enlightens and sanctifies every person who comes into the world, shine upon us the light of your countenance, so that in your light we may behold the unapproachable light, and direct our steps to the keeping of your commandments, through the intercessions of your most holy mother and all the saints. Amen. In this prayer, we hear it clearly petitioned of God, shine upon us, or perhaps we could even translate it, focus on us, the light of your countenance, so that in your light we may see the light which is unapproachable. We cannot command God, no, we can only entreat him. However, as our church teaches us, he is easy to be entreated. God wants to reveal himself to us, to each of us, and to all of us. Our part is to keep asking. We call his light unapproachable because it is. There is no way for us to draw near to the light of infinite God. But God comes to us instead in his divine kenosis, our self-emptying. His movement toward us is always a movement of love and humility, of mystery and presence.
Here in this fire, it seems that I've made this feel more like home than it should. Here with desires to obey, to abide, falling farther than
Heal with your presence. Show us your face. Send down your mercy. Send down your grace. Inspired words from Cloverton. In seeking God, we will find him. Christ said, "Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door will be opened unto you." Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Strange as it may sound to your ears, we Orthodox Christians don't generally think of Orthodox Christianity as a religion. We tend to think of it more as a human response to the reality of the incarnation of the only begotten Son of God. Whatever we are, whatever we believe, whatever we sing, however we worship, all in its totality is the human amen to the reality that God has come and dwelt among us in the divine person of Jesus Christ. Last week I introduced to you a wonderful book written by a Russian woman by the name of Tatiana Korycheva. The name of the book is Talking About God is Dangerous. In it, she relates her own unlikely journey during Soviet communism from atheism to a deep faith in Christ Jesus. We shared last Friday the story of Tatiana's conversion. Today, let's share a bit more of her story. It is how she chose her spiritual father, her pastor, as she calls him in this selection from her book.
I remember clearly the evening when we found our pastor. The church was full to bursting. It was so packed that one had a feeling of being squeezed or trampled on. The candles flickering solemnly yet clearly, and more of them were produced from the chest for the festival. For St. Nicholas, for the Queen of Heaven, for the Savior, for the icon of the Mother of God, joy of all who sorrow. And despite the disturbances, the crush and the heat, the prayer in the church was unusually urgent. The jubilation and the joy at the wonderful acts of God came from open and honest hearts. The priest came out and stood in the midst of the faithful, his face turned to the altar. In his glittering silver vestments, he looked like an angel who had come down from heaven to earth. The faithful then came up to the priest silently to be anointed. In his hand he held a little tassel, which he dipped into the holy oil and with it made the sign of the cross on the people as they came up. At the same time, he quietly said the words, "In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." When the worshippers kissed him on the hand, he added, "A happy festival." His glittering vestments indicated that it was the Feast of the Transfiguration, but it was clear to me that even the rags in which the many unattractive old women were dressed could not destroy the solemn and worthy atmosphere of the festival. Everything was bathed in an unearthly beauty and nobility, and love shone from the young face of the minister. When I and my two friends went forward to receive the blessing, the priest told us to come to me after the service. When we went to him after the service, he suggested that he should become our pastor. To begin with, I was utterly confused. How? Why? What for? What if this was, in fact, a provocation? Had he been sent for something else as well? How could it be that someone who hardly knew us could make such a serious suggestion? And above all, how would an ordinary priest with only an average education direct people like us who led such a complicated intellectual life? All this doubt went through my thoughts like a whirlwind, but urged on by an inexplicable force, the next moment I gave my answer, "Yes, that would be good." My two friends also accepted Father Leonid.
What a touching story she tells of the great longing that existed in Soviet Russia during the close of that empire. People had tried many things in their pursuit of truth and an authentic life, but it was the rediscovery of their orthodoxy that eventually set them free. People wanted to live an authentic life, not for self, but for the other, and indeed for the entire creation. Such is the mystery of Theoria. It is something we long for, but not something we can make happen. It is a gift from God himself, who reconciles a new creation with the eternal, to borrow the words of Tatiana Gorecheva.
In the Narthex, news and happenings.
To give you a brief update, we had, about 2 weeks ago, a wonderful meeting in Wellington, New Zealand. There, we had our second Pan-Orthodox conference with the theme titled Orthopraxia, Living the True Faith. This conference gathered about 50 participants from all over the Wellington area and also as far away as Levin. And the people came, many of them converts to the faith, to hear the theme topic and also to discuss the theme in a more vigorous way in a group settings. We thank Father Meletius from the Monastery of the Holy Archangels in Levin for putting together this wonderful conference. And we hope that we'll have other chances to do such a conference in the future. In fact, we've already started planning for one in November 16th, again in Wellington, but the location is still to be determined. I would like to share with you some of my own impressions regarding the conference. I thought it was a wonderful opportunity to get together. And I think that the people who came, many, as we said, converts, many lifelong Orthodox, found a wonderful bond between each other. There was nothing to separate us other than I suppose, time and space, which tend to separate us anyway. So it was a very lovely sharing, and I was touched by it.
A cloud of witnesses, lives of saints of the Holy Orthodox Church.
The monk Theophanes the Confessor, composer of canons, Bishop of Nicaea and the Brandon, was the younger brother of Theodore. In their youth, the brothers received an excellent education and excelled in philosophy. Striving towards the true knowledge of God, they settled in the monastery of St. Sava, where Theophanes was tonsured a monk and after a certain time became a presbyter. The holy brothers were still well-known advocates of icon veneration. With the blessings of the Patriarch of Jerusalem, they courageously fulfilled the mission entrusted to them and set off to Constantinople to denounce the iconoclast emperor Leo the Armenian, and later they also denounced the iconoclast emperors Michael Balbos and Theophilos. Because of their defense of the icons, the saints had to endure imprisonment, hunger, even tortures. The icon-hating emperor Theophilos gave orders to brand upon their faces a phrase insulting the glorious confessors. Write whatever you wish, O emperor, but at the last judgment you shall read your own writing, said the agonized brothers to the emperor. Saint Theodore was then dispatched to prison, where he died. Saint Theophanes they sent into exile. Once the veneration of icons was restored, the monk Theophanes was returned from exile and ordained Bishop of Nicaea. During his life, the saint wrote about 150 canons, among which is a beautiful canon in defense of holy icons. The monk died peacefully in about the year 850.
The holy disciple Philip from among the 70 was born in Palestine. He was married and had children. After the descent of the Holy Spirit, the 12 apostles made him a deacon in the Jerusalem church, and with other 6 deacons, they entrusted him to distribute the offerings of the faithful and to minister the concerns of the widows, the orphans, and the needy. When after the stoning of the first deacon, Stephen, a persecution began. The disciple Philip departed from Jerusalem and settled in Samaria. There he successfully preached Christianity. At the command of an angel of the Lord, the disciple Philip set out on the road from Jerusalem to Gaza. There he met a dignitary of the Empress of Ethiopia, who he also converted to Christianity. The holy disciple Philip tirelessly preached in the word of God in many lands of the Near East adjoining Palestine. Later at Jerusalem, the apostles ordained him to the dignity of the bishop and sent him to Lydia, where he baptized many. Saint Philip died in old age.
Does it ever catch your eye? Beauty divine. In an old man's tears, the little girl's smile. It feels like a song, one that belongs to you. Stop making sense.
Not alone. He makes himself known in time, in his own time. That is another moving song by Brandon Heath. It is the regular prayer of the church that God bless the catechumen, the learners in the faith, those who stand, whether figuratively or literally, in the narthex. And if you choose to take that step, know that you are not alone. The fact that you are joining, in fact, you are joining a large and glorious white cloud, Aotearoa, of witnesses who have gone before us and who will come after us. Thank you, dear listeners, for once more joining us here on the radio and via the internet. We offer this program as a ministry of love to you, our dear radio listeners, that this humble effort might touch your heart and strengthen your own connection to our loving Savior and His sacred church. And thank you also to our two readers today, Alexander and Georgios. And we want to thank all of you who follow us on Facebook. Please remember you can always look us up on In the Narthex with Father Paul. In the Narthex is an offering of the love of the Sacred Metropolis of New Zealand, which is under the spiritual direction of His Eminence Archbishop Amphilochios, the Greek Orthodox Archbishop of New Zealand, to you, our dear radio listeners. As always, it is our blessing to serve you, and we thank you for listening. Remember, you can always listen again online at www.planetaudio.org/InTheNarthex. We close today's program with a song from Jars of Clay. It's called Grace.
Sometimes has its advantages. I know someday that